At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome in, everybody, to a Thursday edition of Birds 365 here on Jacob Sports. I'm your host, Sandra Kraus. That's my co-host, John McMullen, the number one Eagles beat reporter in town. We are 7 days away, everybody, from the NFL draft, just 1 week until round one kicks off Thursday night of next week. It'll be April 24th. Johnny Mac, how you doing on this Thursday morning, brother?
Doing well. Yeah, 1 week away. Can't get here soon enough. Goopy rumors are only ramping up in the final week. So hopefully it gets here soon. And we're close. We're close. But
Goofy rumor season has been a little bit off the hand this year. I think it is always every year, but boy.
It's getting worse because of the aggregators. Yeah. I mean, my God. That Yahoo, I like Les was out there tweeting. You don't have to write stories about stupid people who've never set foot in an NFL building making up trade rumors. You don't have to acknowledge that. And by the way, I'll get in trouble again. The org and I work for does it more than anybody else now, unfortunately. You don't have to do that. But, again, I don't want to scold you so early in the morning, but fans click on that shit.
Well, did you see the one you're talking about is the Devontae Smith
trade? Oh my God.
Or Jalen Ramsey. I'm like, they just let Darius Slay walk, and now you're gonna trade Devontae Smith, a 25-year-old stud wide receiver.
And think about Jalen Ramsey and Vic Fangio and Miami. Stop and think. My God.
Yeah, that was a tough one. That was a tough article there that I saw. But Johnny Mac, just a week out from the draft, brother, the final top 30 visit came yesterday. And we talked a little pre-show. You can't really tell. There's no real way to confirm the reporting on these guys. So we did see yesterday Jeff McClain tweeted out it was their last visit, the last of the team's visit. It was Minnesota cornerback Justin Wally. He was the last of the team's top 30 visits before the draft. But there's no way to know it fully. We don't have all 30 names, but your final thoughts as we hear about the top 30 visit, some of the guys they brought in. That's another cornerback there that kind of goes along with the trend that we talked about a little bit earlier. Top 30 visits have come to an end, Johnny Mac, just a week before the draft here.
Yeah, and there's a few. It could be four, it could be six, depending on how they labeled some of the South Jersey kids that came in, which could be local visitors. And if they count as local visitors, that doesn't count towards your 30 limit. So yeah, unless you've contacted every agent, every player, it's tough to nail these things down completely. Now, some teams, they just alert people and say, this is who we visit. So, you might consider that, but I wouldn't count on that with the Eagles. But yeah, so that's sort of the inside baseball of that. And I talk about the themes a lot. Ton of offensive linemen, ton of defensive front people, trenches strip. We've been talking about that, which has surprised nobody. But ultimately, the surprising part, two surprises to me, ton of defensive backs, which I think speaks to the depth you've lost with, guys stepping up. Remember, you lost starters. So you lost Darius Slay. You lost C.J. Gardner-Johnson, traded him. You also lost Isaiah Rogers, one of your top backup at outside corner. A lot of bodies you got to replace. So that part makes some sense. But they're looking at some bigger time prospects than I thought they would have looked at, which tells you, hey, maybe they're not as bullish on Kaylee Ringo taking over and Sidney Brown taking over, which doesn't surprise me as much with Brown, more so with Ringo. But, because Sydney's coming off the injury, wasn't completely healthy on his way back. So a lot of things to prove there. But, you know, they've talked to some guys who are bridge picks, and they might be there at the end of the first round or early second round, which surprises me a little bit.
Yeah.
And then the second part is, of all those names, no tight ends.
None.
And if they're not going to figure out some middle ground with Dallas Goedert, that is a significant need. And it might be just as simple as they're trying to really lock down the information they told the kids. Like LaQuinn Allen, he's a Millville kid, South Jersey kid from Syracuse
running back. Yep.
Pass catching back, the best in the nation last year. Looks like a potential Kenny Gainwell replacement, maybe on day three. But the confirmation there was his own Instagram page.
Yeah, his agents, I think. His agent put it up, I believe.
Either or. Some guys do that. The person, Marcus, did it. Nick Scorton, everybody saw the picture with him and BG. You know, the Eagles might have told the tight ends, if they had tight ends, to say, hey, you know, lock it down. Don't say you're here. If you do say you're here, we're not going to draft you, things like that. There's a lot of ways you can manipulate it,
right?
Try to keep that under wraps. I'm shocked that, but those are the two surprises.
Are they telling us that it's going to be tight end by committee this year?
Well, it has to be if they don't work things out with Dallas Goedert and they don't draft a tight end. Has to be.
Yeah. I mean, the funniest part about it is the best option of them all is the guy who's already on the team. But I know that obviously it takes two to tango and you have to work that out. But, you know, it is an interesting approach because I was thinking about this yesterday, John, and I'm like, boy, even safety, even corner, even linebacker, even running back, even positions that Howie has not typically had at the top of his value chart, he gets contingency plans in early. I mean, every other position that we lost a player, there was at least a contingency plan. Might not have been a big one or might not have been a high-valued one, but there was one. With tight end, there's been nothing. They haven't drafted one in the last 3 years. They didn't do anything until they brought in – well, they drafted Calcaterra, I guess, in the sixth round a couple of years back, 3 years back, I think now. But other than that, and I don't think he was the contingency, they haven't done anything for that position. It's quite surprising based on the way they do business.
Well, he would argue they have, and, you know, the signings, the Tamu signings of Kylan Grant. Well,
until this year.
Yeah.
They didn't draft somebody last year. Harrison Bryant.
Well, yeah, you know, it's a fair point. I mean, Grant Calcaterra is the last tight end they've drafted. And if you look at just Dallas's arrival, again, you know, Zach Ertz set the NFL record for tight end receptions the year Dallas Goedert got here. So, you know, they were working for, and they've done it in the past, obviously, with Jason Kelce. They're trying to do it with Lane Johnson. But sometimes it doesn't work out, you know, how he said that. I think, yeah, they've been looking for an heir apparent for Lane Johnson for years now. Haven't been able to do it. It's not like they're not trying.
You know, I get that. I think Lane is a little different, but you wanted to get Lane's replacement now, it's not as pressing as of a need as defensive tackle or defensive end or tight end if you're going to lose guys.
No, it's not, but that's kind of the point. I mean – And he said it, one of the few things he did say on Tuesday is like, look, I mean, there's 31 other teams. There's, you know, shit doesn't fall always the way you want it to fall.
Right. No, I get that.
When you're even at 22, now the Eagles were very high on Quinyon Mitchell. And by no means were they disappointed. But look, if Fautanu was there, they would have taken Fautanu.
Yeah.
And which, if Mitchell.
Which, by the way, I don't know if that would have been the right move. I know he might be a great player.
On hindsight, probably not. Well, no,
I'm not talking about whether he would have been better than Quinyon. I'm talking about Lane has 2 years left, I think, minimum from this point. So if you drafted Fautanu last year, you'd have had 3 years still left with Lane Johnson. Now, maybe it would have been as simple as he's your right guard and he sticks there until he's not your right guard anymore. But you know, from my estimation, the perfect time for me would be to draft a right tackle. And I know it can't always work this way, like you just thoroughly explained, would be the year before you think Lane's going to hang him up. Lane plays one more year.
Well, I mean,
and then you slot him in.
For all the people that say, well, Lane signed an extension, Lane's going to be here for 3 years, Lane's this, Lane's that, at the very end, he always says, but at this point, it's always year to year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been talking about retiring for years.
Yeah, but do you think he has 2 years left at least right now?
I do, but that is only if he feels healthy like he feels right now.
Right. If he gets an injury or something, that could change.
Like, you know, when he and his biggest injury was the deltoid in the ankle, like he was out, man. If they didn't fix that thing, and they tried the tightrope surgery, didn't work, still in tremendous amount of pain. And then they did a reconstructive surgery the bad year where they shut it down and he was injured. And then he started feeling better and he got back to himself. But even after this latest one, when we talked to him, he said, everything at my age is year to year. Everything. So, you know, just because he signed that extension and the Eagles did it with Jason Kelce. I mean, the Eagles had three different heir apparents for Jason Kelce. People forget, you know, Isaac Seumalo was drafted to be the heir apparent to Jason Kelce long before Cam Jurgens. And he kept going and going and going and going. So best case scenario. But with Lane, yeah, right now he's healthy. He's playing. He's never played better. Yeah, I expect him to be here through the contract, 3 years. But that ankle starts acting up again?
Yeah, right. No, yeah, so, I understand. I understand that. With it, I'm just a little surprised that they haven't brought in any tight end. Like, it's a little surprising to me. I mean, we talked about this a year ago where it's like, well, 2 years prior to this point in Goddard's career, they had already drafted Goddard. So it's like I was kind of waiting for it, and it just never came. And now you're in a position where if you lose Dallas Goedert, I mean, you have a glaring weakness on the offense, with all due respect to Grant Calcaterra. But we will see what they end up doing there. John, I'm looking at the list of names. I don't know if I can count this off right here, but I don't think we quite got to 30, if I'm not mistaken. The most recent reported ones were
26 or 24, yeah, depending how you look at it.
All right. So there was Minnesota cornerback Justin Wally, Navy safety Raywan Lane III. How about that? A Navy safety, another defensive back. You mentioned Syracuse running back. How do I pronounce that first name? Lakeen Allen?
That's what I'm going with.
That's what I'm going to go with, too. West Virginia offensive tackle Wyatt Millam. Georgia safety Malachi Starks, Penn State linebacker Kobe King, and then the list goes on as we kept you updated all through the process. But there's about 25 or 26 names, so you didn't get to all 30, but it is wrapped up. We'll see if we get any more reports on any more.
Yeah, and Lane was a local visit, so he doesn't count against the 30. They had a bunch of they had their local pro day when they invite in like 30 of the, you know, a bunch of guys from Rutgers were here, a bunch of Villanova guys, Chuck Smith's kid was in, went to Villanova. So there's all these local versus top 30 things. And in the case of, you know, probably the best player, at least I think the best player they brought in was Azarako, and he might not even count because he's from Williamstown, New Jersey. So, that's sort of the weirdness of the top 30 visits. That's the thing I wish the NFL would demand more transparency to. I think it would be helpful. Like when you visit with a player, you visit with a free agent, it has to go across the league wire. I think they should do that with top 30 visits. But nobody's listening to me, but I think it would help a lot. And I don't think it hurts the teams, but of course they all think they're playing CIA level subterfuge, as you see what's going on.
They really do
with the New York Giants and the quarterbacks and all that. So y'all, Shador, oh, they're meeting with Shador Thursday. Turns out they're meeting with every quarterback at the end of the process, right. even the lesser ones, like, you know, potential second rounders. So Yeah, it'd be nice to have more transparency, but it is what it is.
Yeah, no doubt about it. John, the other thing I wanted to ask you about here in the open, we'll get into some of the topics we just hit on. We're going to have a great guest in hour number two with Caden Steele. So we got a great show planned. We appreciate everybody being here. Don't forget to hit that like button for us this morning. We appreciate each and every one of you. Johnny Mac, yesterday during our show, the news broke. The news broke that Jalen Hurts was to the Time top 100 most influential list, which is pretty wild because of, you know, he's a football player. You know, that's a big list, man. That transcends football. Now, I know it's Time. Maybe some people think you purchased the whatever the case might be of what you think of it. But it's pretty cool that you got in there. I wanted to get your thoughts, though, in the open, because it happened when we had guests on. So I didn't quite hear your chance to elaborate.
I think it's pretty cool. And that's far as it goes. I saw a lot of people that made it out to be some kind of major like thing. And I kind of chuckle at them. And I even chuckle more at the people that got upset by it. How could you put a quarterback on the 100? Like, who? Unfortunately, it's entertainment at this stand. But, you know, it's pretty cool from Jalen Hurts' perspective. And I don't see any problem with it. Evidently, a lot of people do. I mean, Nicole Scherzinger is on there. She used to be in the Pussycat Dolls, I think. So, yeah, they can put a quarterback on there.
Yeah, I think the only other quarterback to make it at some point was Mahomes, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, there you go. It's cool. And they had a couple other sports people on there. But, you know, different categories. It is what it is. But, you know, it's like when Kelsey was nominated for sexiest man of the year. And he always jokes about that. But, pretty cool. And, hey, when you win the Super Bowl, they start thinking about you for Time Most Influential People. That's how
there
it works.
There you go. John, it's another feather in your cap, too. Not that you need another one, but I am going to give you another one because you've been telling Eagles fans for a while now that people don't hate the quarterback as much as we think that they hate the quarterback.
I mean, my God. I mean, he's so well-liked. It's so bizarre to me. Like, but, you know, I mean, if you don't validate and you don't say, well, he's the best quarterback in football because he won the Super Bowl. I mean, tremendously popular in the league. You know, you think about Jordan Brand, all that. Yeah. It's just ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, to say that
I'm wondering if they're going to launch a Jalen Hurts line at Jordan, or if he likes wearing the Jordan. Because I don't know if you, I don't think you're a cleat guy, but I like shoes, and I like, you know, he always wears like the classic Jordan shoes in cleat form, you know. So I don't know if he would like to leave those behind, or if he would try and get his own line, or
He was trying to get the two shoes thing going.
NFL's not going to let that happen.
Yeah, he was trying to get, but it wasn't catching on to the degree I think he wanted. But yeah, I mean, he's very marketable. He's very, you know, he's got a lot of endorsements. As you said, Time 100, you would think that would resonate with people that say, hey, maybe he's not hated nationally. I've never met anybody who hates Jalen Hurts. Literally. I've never met anybody who said, oh, that's a bad guy.
Yeah, right.
Like, I don't even know where that stems from.
There are haters of his play on the field. That's it.
You could say, I mean, Chase Daniels is the one getting criticized now because he says, you know, if you started a team, that old argument, you know, who would you take? And he said something about Jalen not being.
Yeah, he wouldn't put him in the top 10 or something. Yeah. We had Jay Gruden on yesterday, and he said the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's not controversial. I mean, if you think about it, again, the question is start a team. So you don't have the Super Bowl champions. You have an expansion team.
Yeah, I know, but I'm sorry, but I'm not coming up with 10 quarterbacks.
No,
there's not even 10 quarterbacks on that list total. There's like six, maybe total that you'd like.
I'm with you. I haven't done the exercise because it's a stupid exercise. But B,
it'll never happen. It's fairy tale.
Exactly. So it doesn't matter. I would probably put him in the top 10, but he'd be in the bottom half of the top 10. It's not outrageous.
He'd definitely be in the top half of the top half of the top 10 for me.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's starting a team. So an expansion team. Essentially. Yeah,
it's different. I mean, I don't have a problem with
even that. And even that, you have to say, what are you trying to do with that expansion team? Are you trying to build long term, or are you trying to win the most games? You know, like, what's the context? Do you want to win four games, or do you want to win six games? Do you want to, you know, or do you want to build to be a playoff team by year four?
Right.
You know, even that changes the dynamic.
There's too many possible variables with that whole discussion to
it's
even.
It's a stupid discussion, yeah, but it kind of is. You know, Jay's been around a long time. I didn't know that Jay said that, but
well, no, he was on the Cilio show yesterday, and Cilio just brought up Chase Daniels said this, and Jay's like, yeah, sounds about right. I'd probably have him at 12.
I mean, you know, Jay knows quarterbacks. He's been doing it a long time. It's not outrageous, is what I'm saying. I don't agree with it, but
I think cares? 12 is a little agree. Like if you're at 12, you're starting a team with, you know, Baker Mayfield and
well, like you know, some of the best quarterbacks. If I'm starting a team, I don't even want, like, you know, because they're older. Like, why do I want
right?
You know,
even Mahomes at 30. I mean,
yeah, oh, I mean, yeah. I wouldn't
take them, but I know what you're saying. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's a dumb conversation, number one. So if you don't like it, just turn the page on it. But to your point, people do not hate Jalen Hurts.
No, they
just
don't.
I mean,
there's nothing about the guy I don't know what people would dislike about the dude. I mean, maybe you don't like his style of football. That's different than not liking the dude, but he's definitely a very likable dude. So good stuff there. He made the top 100 most influential people. Jalen Hurts transcends football. Look at that, everybody. Super Bowl winner, Super Bowl MVP, and he gets on the Time top 30 list there. So good stuff for Jalen.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.